Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. Welcome to They Overcame. We're here to give God the praise. We're here to give God the glory that is through his name. We just bless God because of who he is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am just so excited about today. I don't have a particular reason to be excited, just excited about waking up this morning. And, you know, there's a song that we used to sing, had the Lord on my mind. I'm not exactly remembering how it goes, but waking up this morning with the Lord on my mind, thinking about the things that he's done for me, praising him and just loving him. Good morning, babe. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited as well. After a good night's rest and sleep because of the goodness of God, and then waking this morning because of the faithfulness of God, and just excited about the day, just to see what God's going to do. And we just do have a reason always to be rejoicing. And I remember that song as well. It just says, woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus.
Stayed on Jesus.
And I finish it by just saying, hallelujah, because then that goes along with the scripture that says, just my soul cries out, hallelujah. Or the other song says, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. So we just thank God for today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, babe, you want to open us up with prayer?
Yes, let's all look to the Lord. And we just, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We love you. We magnify you. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We thank you for goodness. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for your long suffering with us. We thank you for dying for us so that we would not have to die in our sins and for our sins, but you have paid the price. You came, hallelujah. Jesus, you came that you would just take care of all of that for us, that you would reconcile us to our Father in heaven. And we just thank you for doing that for us, Lord. If you haven't, if you don't do anything else, if you hadn't done anything else, we're just so thankful that you have given us the keys to the kingdom, that we can live with you forever. We thank you for salvation so that when this life is done, we know that we have an everlasting life of joy and peace and praise and worship and reigning and ruling with you. We just thank you, Lord God, that there'll be no more disease, there'll be no more troubles, no be no more problems, no more addictions, no more emotions that just bring us down, no more things to just make us feel the ways that we feel right now. But Lord God, only peace and joy, hallelujah, and light, living in your light. In the name of Jesus, we just look so forward to that day. In the name of Jesus, you've given it to us, and we thank you. It's not to us only, but you said in your word it's to all of our children and our children's children, and many who are fall off, who you shall save. And we just thank you, Lord God, and we pray right now that you make us instruments in your kingdom, that we will be those that go out and bring others into the fold. Lord God, by this show that is going forth, that some will be reached and come into the salvation. And Lord God, even in our everyday lives, wherever we go, in the grocery store, in the workplace, in school, hallelujah, at the gas station, wherever we are, Lord God, let us be used by you, that our light will so shine before men that they will see our good works and glorify you in heaven and come running into your kingdom in the name of Jesus. We pray right now, Lord God, that everyone that hears this broadcast today, that their souls, their bodies, hallelujah, their lives will be blessed, blessed to come into salvation, blessed to be uplifted, blessed to be healed, blessed to be, Lord God, just brought out of, delivered, whatever they're in. In the name of Jesus, blessed to know that they have hope, hope in you. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. Anoint every word that goes out today. Anoint our guests, hallelujah, everyone that calls in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, baby, for that awesome prayer, the sentiments of my heart. Those of you that are Facebook friends with me, I posted last night, posted last night, you know, how I was beginning to get a little discouraged because of the lack of calls, but how I met Pastor Prophet David Guy on yesterday. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, and I was just so blessed. He told me that he had heard about the broadcast, and, you know, heard the person that was telling him about it, was just giving glowing reports about the things that God had done in their lives and how they were able to share on our broadcast. And was just telling he and his mom was there, Mama Guy, just a blessed woman. She was telling us, yes, that's the program that Michelle has been telling us about it. Oh, we're so excited. And, you know, it just stirred something up in me to not be discouraged. He said, maybe they're not calling in, Billy, but people are being blessed. They're being encouraged, you know, just hearing what you're doing. So that just kind of reignited something in me for the broadcast. Not that I was going to give up on the broadcast, but, you know, just something even that I see that our sister Adrienne, who is the sponsor for this broadcast, is on the line, and I'm going to bring her on. But something that she says to me all the time to look at the stats and see the people that are listening. They're not calling in, but they're listening to the broadcast. And if one person, the Bible talks about the angels rejoicing over one person. If one person is encouraged, if one person decides to give their life to God, to, you know, to know what this is that we're talking about, the joy that we have when we're talking about the things that God has done for us, if one person is saved, one person encouraged, then God is happy and we're happy, and we're just so thankful to Evangelist Denar for giving us this opportunity. We're going to open up her line now so we can hear from her. We just thank God for her being on this early in the morning. And I sent a special God bless those that get up and make that sacrifice to join with us at 5 a.m. in the Pacific time. And good morning, Evangelist. How are you today?
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Truly, I woke up with God on my mind this morning. I've had a restless night, not restless because I'm weary, but restless when it's so much in your spirit and so much you want to offer to the Lord. So I proposed in my heart. I saw your post, but I never responded to it. Amen. And I'm reminded of the scripture said, be not weary in well-doing. So, you know, sometimes you hear people voice different things that is going on in their lives. And when you feed into it, then you're feeding that which they feel. So I say, well, Lord, I'm going to get up this morning. I've been happy since Wednesday when I heard about all of those pardons that President Barack Obama had granted to about 8 people with life sentences have been in prison for over 20 years. And my sister's husband called me. I didn't hear about it. But after the broadcast, he called me. Well, it was Thursday, excuse me. And he said, did you hear about the pardon? And this is just a word of testimony. And I said, oh, and I got excited, and he was excited. This is Danielle's husband. And he said, yes, he has pardoned several people with life sentences. And my heart just started rejoicing. I was praying that Danielle was in that number. But even as I begin to rejoice, I told the Lord, if she's not, I'm rejoicing and I'm happy for those that got that blessing, for those that God showed mercy unto. And as I sit here this morning, I've been up since about 3 something this morning, just a restless in my spirit, and I kept on saying, Lord, she's next in line for a miracle because she had some similarities with one of the young men that was pardoned. And I say, my God, you know, 3 life sentences, this don't make any sense. 20 years, you know, next month will be 21 years. So as I begin to look at your post and I begin to reflect upon last month, the celebration where you celebrated 1 year hosting,
yeah.
They overcame you and your husband. And I say, man, my, she have nothing to be discouraged about. God is still opening up doors. There are still people in the land with testimonies, and there are people that we haven't even tapped into yet. And they haven't even given their testimony of about how great God is. So as I began to get at this computer this morning, I went to Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, and this is just to encourage you. And Lamentation chapter 3 says, verse 21 through 23, says, this I recall to my mind. Amen. You have to recall. Hey, glory to God. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And as I look, Elder Burns and Minister Burns, and I look at these stats, and we're celebrating 2 years on this broadcast. And I'm just giving a little testimony because you come on Saturday. But we're on here Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Without fail, holidays. I told someone yesterday, a young man had called me to come on and speak, and that had been prophesied. You won't have to call on folks. They'll be calling on you. And I've experienced that in this 2-year period. And I said, Lord, we've been on this line nonstop Monday through Friday, and then about a year and a half on Sunday morning for 30 minutes of Sunday morning prayer. And, you know, God remembers, Billy, when others forget. You know, God will never be left without a witness. He'll never be left without somebody testifying of his goodness. They may not testify when we think they should. Oh, but God has done some great things for many of us. Amen. And this year, 2014, is going to be a year of celebration where we'll be able to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So I just called this morning to encourage you. I have to go on another blog talk that I started out with Pastor Adams. He's been on blog talk for 4 years. So today is his last show. He's shutting out. So God is moving him on to some other things. So his broadcast started at 6 in the morning. And I thought about that, and I talked with him, and he said, you know, asked me to come on. And this is his last broadcast this morning. So, you know, as God closed one door, he'll open up some new doors. So be encouraged. God is not through with you yet. I have my clothes on. I'm about to go and visit my sister by 8 o'clock this morning and encourage her and let her know she's next in line for a miracle. I don't believe. I have served God 30 years, and my sister has been in prison 21 years, and God has not heard my prayer. I just believe that he's heard my prayer, and sometimes you want them home, and you want this, and you want that, but you don't know why God preserved people. Hallelujah. But he always has an appointed time. He always has a set time, because God wants the glory out of our life. He don't want no man to get any glory. He wants the glory. Amen. Because it's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. Because if it was not for the Lord, we would be consumed. If it was not for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Amen. Yeah. So you be encouraged and you keep on looking up. I know it gets like that. I've had many, many moments. Amen. Even this week, you know, you see about 3 or 4 come on, and then later on in the broadcast, then we may have 15 or 20. Then you see them dropping off. But I'm not, that don't move me. What moves me is being on the assignment that God has given me at this period in my life, and if I don't see but 1 or 2, I'm going to give God the glory, because he said when 2 or 3 are touching and agreeing on my name, I'm going to show up. So that encourages me, and you all are doing a great work. And again, I say to you, they have people coming on the line, surfing the internet all times of night. You don't know who have heard a testimony that have restored their hope. You don't know who have heard a testimony that have caused them to not pick up a gun and put it to the head. In 60 days, I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say last Sunday, in 60 days, he know of 4 pastors that have committed suicide. Hallelujah. So we're still in the land of the living. We still have a hope. We still have a reason to give God some praise. So be encouraged. He ain't through with us yet.
Amen, amen. I thank you for those words of encouragement. And it did yesterday when I talked to Pastor Guy, and he hasn't heard the broadcast. He hasn't been on the broadcast, but he did tell me, he said, that's just something that I need. He said, I need that encouragement. I need to hear, you know, those words that people are saying and what God is doing to let me know that I don't have to look down. I can look up because my redemption is drawing nigh. And it just did something in my spirit yesterday, you know, to hear he and Mama Guy saying that they had heard about the broadcast and, you know, heard the glowing reports of the broadcast. And so, well, Lord, I just, you know, I was a little discouraged. I was a little, you know, not that I was going to stop, because I don't care if nobody comes on the broadcast. I'm going to be here, and I always have a praise for the Lord. God is doing things. Things are not, you know, 100% in my life, but I have the Lord, and I heard and I know you have to go, but I heard a preacher, and he was saying, and this is something that I used to, when I would be in worship years ago, and I would tell the Lord, out of the, here's a song, actually, out of the billions of people, Lord, you saved me. Out of all of the billions of people in this world, you saved me. And if I don't have anything, hallelujah, to praise God for, it's for me being one of the ones that has been chosen by him. So I just thank God. I thank God for you, my sister Adrienne. I love you, and I just thank God that you have given us the opportunity, you know, to have this broadcast. And I know it wasn't me that had this idea. I know this is a God idea, and I know that we have to persevere through. I just wanted to put that out, you know, yesterday on Facebook, and I you know, I'm not discouraged any longer.
I have
my husband here with me, and you know, we're as the old saints used to say, holding up the bloodstained black banner for the Lord. So,
amen. I see. I have the switchboard up with you. I see liberal Democrats on the line, and I want you all to know, I want to tell Ella Burns that he's on YouTube. He downloaded and got us a YouTube channel where he, all of the messages that came forth through the praise-a-thon, he have them on YouTube. So he have a part one and part two for Elder Burns when he spoke for us for that six-hour praise-a-thon, and it was great. So I thank God for this man of God. God always send you help, I tell you. So I see he's on the line with you this morning. So God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. And God bless you, and have traveling mercies over you as you travel to see your sister. And we know, and that was something that that we talked about, you and I, over the broadcast, about the president pardoning some of the people that, you know, were unjustly or too hardly punished for crimes that they've done. And, you know, we know that God is able. The president hadn't pardoned very many people, but that's such an encouragement that he, you know, that he's pardoned that many people at one time. So
hallelujah.
We're just going to keep holding on and keep believing God and know that it's not in his hands, but it's in God's hands. And we know that he is in everything. Amen. So you be encouraged also. We know that God is, you know, he hears our prayers, and you know, he answers them when it's his time, and it's his time, and his time. So God bless you, and you have
Amen.
A blessed day today.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. We're going to go to open up the line. So I'm going to leave your line open for as long as you're on the line, Evangelist. But we're going to go to Liberal Democrat. And we thank you, sir, for joining us this morning.
Amen, amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord on the telephone. Thank you. Amen. So I'm just grateful, amen, to God, that people, amen, around the clock are saying something about Jesus. Like, while we sleep, God got somebody praising, praying, and holding him up. So I'm encouraged when I hear, amen, the lines going on with the people of God and the intercessors and everything, amen. I'm encouraged of the testimonies and whatnot. So, amen, God bless you, and I appreciate this, amen, of God endeavor here, amen.
Amen. Hold us up in prayer, and you know, if you know of anyone that has a testimony, and it doesn't have to be, I say often that no testimony is too small, and no testimony is too big, you know, for
Thank
the broadcast. We just want to hear.
And he has a testimony, Billy. He can testify. I don't know why he's being so gracious this morning, but he has an awesome testimony. So, hey. He just,
amen.
I guess he
well,
just
well, you know, mine was long. I had to cut it short because I said, Lord, this thing is long right now. I listened to it on the line. I'm like, Lord, that thing was like 20 minutes, and I thought it was like 5 or 10. And I'm like, here we go. I'm like, gracious. Yeah. Amen.
Well,
amen,
we have plenty of time. We have 2 hours. So give your testimony.
All right. Yeah. Well, amen. Amen. I didn't know the order this morning and whatnot, but amen. You know, I could talk. I got to make myself. I remind myself at times. I got to be quiet sometimes because when I go, I'm trying to told you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 But amen. We thank God. Amen. For amen. 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 Elder Burns and amen. Minister Billy Burns. Amen. And evangelist. Amen, hallelujah, amen to God. Adrian Bernard and Sister Ruby, the armor bearer, because, amen to God,
yeah.
These shows have been holding me up as well, amen to God. Like, you know, I just got back on the wall not too long ago myself, amen. He said, stay on the wall. That's the message, the affirmation I got on my computer, amen. Every time I turn my computer on, amen, I got that thing floating around, says, stay on the wall. Amen, amen. Because, you know, you get church hurt sometime and you just forget folk. Amen. I remember a time where when church would come on television, I would just change the channel. Amen. And, you know, I had knew when the saints would come out and shop and different things. And I didn't even want to see no church folk. So, you know, but that's how it was with me. I'll go back with an earlier testimony and whatnot with my daughter. Amen. I remember I used to travel a lot. Back in the day, I used to, you know, do a lot of promotion, event planning and stuff, you know, and, you know, without just naming the different entities and whatnot. I had my daughter with me and whatnot, and we was on a bus, and, you know, and I was like, you know, I said, Lord, I said, I said, okay, I'm going to be a good daddy. I'm going to keep her with me even while I'm on the road. And so Mama let me get her, and I took her with me. And she's about like 3 or 4 at the time. And amen. And we were on the bus, and I was sitting by a total stranger. Just had a great conversation with this young lady. And, you know, we just talking. And you know how the bus stops and stuff like that. So, you know, I didn't know this lady from nobody. You hear me? And we just had good chemistry and good conversation. So I said, do you mind if, you know, when the bus stopped, the bus said, we're going to be stopping here for about 15 minutes. And whatnot. So I said, you know, I'm just going to go in the bathroom, just do a quick, you know, wash up, whatever, and give me a soda or something. And I said, you might have heard, I'm jumping out those, can you watch her for a second? She said, sure, no problem. Didn't know this lady from nobody. Amen, amen. And then I got off the bus. Then when I got back on the bus and whatnot, I didn't see the lady at all. The bus was about to leave in a few minutes. And I went straight panic mode. I'm like, you stupid. Why would you do that? You don't know this lady from nobody, you know. It's just like, you know, and I was just like, Lord, I ain't know. Should I call the police? Should I just fall on the ground and scream? Should I just do whatever, you know? And I just said, Lord, you're going to have to get me out of this. I don't know what else to do. Amen. And then the ladies came all happy and whatnot with my daughter. You know, they had some food in their hand, and they came on the bus. And then I played it off like I was the word or whatever. I said, but what if I didn't pray that prayer?
My God.
Would they have came back to the bus? You know, because I didn't know this young lady from nobody, you know, and stuff like that. So I just thank and praise God, you know, for his mercies, amen,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Because I said, Lord, if I had not, you know, because when they got on the bus, I was like saying, well, I was over-exaggerating. And I said, I didn't even need to pray. But what if I didn't pray? You know,
yeah.
And stuff like that. And a lot of times, amen, we as believers, we be like taking things for granted, saying that, you know, that wasn't God, that was just me, or that was just me overacting or whatever. But, you know, the Bible talks about the principalities and whatnot, and that means that, you know, the devil has positions like captains and generals assigned, all of them got assignments to mess with the people of God. And I said, you know, just like, you know, prophets and everybody can see the calling on your life, I said the devil knows the calling on you too. So if I could stop you before you can get to your destiny and whatnot, right. You know, amen, you know, so I wasn't even aware of the spiritual warfare that was going on at the time, you know, because I was all into other stuff that I was doing, you know, stuff like that. I was promoting comedians, promoting poets, promoting singers, actors, just doing that and just running the road and just being wild or whatever. But I was raised in a church, you know, I knew better, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and which I'll go back. Amen, and stuff like that earlier, you know, when it comes to the Lord, how I was raised and whatnot, you know, again, my mother, amen, the guy has stepped outside the marriage with her husband's brother, amen, and that's how I came into being and whatnot, but nobody told me about it. So, amen, so I'm raised in that family thinking that, you know, the man who is my really my uncle, I'm calling him my father, and, you know, she stayed in the marriage and whatnot. I guess he forgave her and his brother down the line for that. But, you know, they never forgave me, which I didn't do anything. And but no one told me about it. I just noticed that I was treated different from all the other children and whatnot. Like when it came to taking out his aggressions or whatever, I would get whoopings all the time and whatnot. And so much so, like, when the other children in the family would do something, they would say, you used to getting whoopings by him, you know. Please, would you take a whooping for me? And so since I was used to, you know, I almost built up, you know, him just taking out his aggressions on me. So I was just like, if they did something, I would just say, yeah, I see I did it. And then I would just take the whooping or whatever because, I became used to being the beat-up thing. And I'll just do this poem while I'm on here because, you know, I used to do poetry too as well. And this is a poem that came from that. If it takes a village to raise a child, what did it take for you to raise your hand to it, your foot to it, your fist to it? When did your child become your djembe drum, something for you to beat on, something for you to hit on, something? We are raising hell and our children at the same time. If it takes a village to raise a child, what did it take for you to raise your hand to it? Ba-boom, boom, ba-boom, boom, ba-boom, boom. Your fist to it, boom, 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 ba-boom, boom. Your voice to it, your hand, bam, bam. When did your child become your djembe drum? Boom, boom, boom. Something to hit on, something to beat on. Something, a thing. A thing, a thing. If it takes a village to raise a child, what did it take for you to raise your hand and your foot and your fist to it? And what will it take to make you stop? In poem. Amen. So that helped me get through some of that stuff. I began to write early on, write poetry and stuff like that. And just go on and you know and from those experiences, you know, just gotten several different bad relationships, looking for love and stuff like that, and it was like I was used to being abused in that family and whatnot. So I just got it became like a part of me wherein I said, Lord, I'm just not supposed to be happy. And so, you know, when the other kids would do stuff in my family, my brothers and sisters and them, I didn't want them to feel what I felt, the whoopings, the pains, the beatings. So I would always take, you know, the blame for some of this stuff because I got used to it, almost desensitized to it because I said, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing in life. I'm supposed to be this drum. I'm supposed to be this person that gets beat on. That's my thing. That's, you know, I'm good at taking a punch. You know, I'm good at getting cussed out. I'm good at that, you know. But the other children, they not as strong as that. So you know, and then it got so bad wherein, you know, I didn't have anybody taking up for me. It was just an accepted thing and whatnot, like, you know. And again, nobody told me that, you know, I was a child outside of the marriage, you know. I just thought he just hated me for no reason. So, you know, we would be playing bingo on the floor, everybody playing. I think it was called Pekino, too. It was like a board game with, like, chips. And my mother would give us all pennies, you know. She would give me a handful of pennies, my brother a handful of pennies or whatever, and we would just sit around and we would just play the game, Pekino and whatnot. And when I would hear the crackling of the rocks in the driveway, and that was my dad coming home when he would come home, well, I should say uncle, you know, this is one of them Jerry Springer things, y'all, so I'm just going to say dad for the purpose of this conversation. Amen. Uh-huh. And I heard the crackling of the rocks, and everybody looked up at me, you know, with that sad face, like, you better go into the other room or whatever. And again, no one told me this is why, what was going on. I just knew that I was the punching bag or the beat up, you know, something like that, you know. And, you know, whatever, he'd come home drunk or whatever, you know, he would be like, you know. And so I just knew, everybody looked at me, you better go, you know. So I would go run right into the room, and I would just go stare at the calendar of Jesus on the wall and whatnot. Because back then, you know, I used to watch all those Jesus of Nazareth movies when they came on Easter, and the Moses movies and the Bible, you know, and stuff like that. And I remember specifically what, you know, stood out, you know, when I watched the Bible, when Job was crying to the Lord, why you let all this bad stuff happen to me? And I remember that voice, who made the sun and who made this and who just stop the rain, then the rain stopped. And I just thought that was so dramatic. And I'm like, you know, well, Job couldn't ask some questions. I said, I guess I ain't supposed to ask questions. So, Lord, I ain't supposed to ask you no questions, and I'm supposed to take this whooping from Pops. I'm like, I just don't think this is right, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, and you know, I'm just sitting up there staring at the calendar. And for hours, I'm just looking at that calendar. And just imagine, you know, being one of the apostles, my imagination, you know. So I became a writer, like, you know, because, you know, that was my escapism and stuff like that, you know. And I said, I would just write stories and different things or whatever. And then look at that calendar and whatnot, and see him praying and whatnot. And I would ask questions. I said, Lord, why you letting me go through this? Why don't you just do something? I said, why don't you just kill him? You know, and I was praying that, you know, I'm trying to tell you, you know, this is like one of them kind of prayers. You know, I guess they call it witchcraft these days, but I was praying that. I said, Lord, can this car just crash? Can you just get a heart attack? I mean, can you just, you know, why mean people live longer than nice people, Lord? You know, so I was just praying to that calendar for him to die and stuff like that. And he would always come home, and I said, well, Lord, I guess that prayer didn't work. Amen. And then I started hating that picture because it looked like my prayers wasn't being answered. Mm. And then he would come home at night, just say he'd get off from work, and it's about like 12 in the morning, 1 in the morning or whatever. And he would be frying. As soon as I smell that food, it come to me, I just start bracing, you know, get ready for it, get my psychological mind rest. Either I'm getting cussed out or I'm getting hit, you know. So when I smell that food, you know, I love me some chicken now, you know, and whatnot. But when I was younger, hey, man, you bring some fried chicken around me, you know, you probably get cussed out. I don't want no chicken, you know, because that was his thing. He would fry him some chicken at night. And stuff like that. When I would smell fried chicken, I associated it with that, you know, here we go, you know. And so I would, amen, I'm sitting in there in the bed and whatnot, and I'm whispering to my brother. I say, well, maybe he'd be drunk tonight and just fall asleep in the kitchen, you know, and or maybe he'd fall in that grease and just die, or maybe he'd die while he's eating or something, you know. And none of that happened. He yelled my name out. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. He's like, get in here and wash these dishes. I'm like, Lord, I said, here we go. And we had that the black skillet. The whole thing is hot and stuff like that. And it was just real hot. And you know, he just finished cooking chicken or whatever. And we had pot holders and washcloths and everything out. And he said, put that in the sink, start washing it. It was hot. And, you know, and I went to go grab the pot holder, and he punched that pot holder out of my hand, right? And I'm like, I said, put that in the sink. And I'm like, here we go, Lord. So I just did it real quick, like, you know, I dumped my hand in the water real quick so it won't be dry. And then I grabbed it and just threw it in there with and I'm like, here we go. And then I start washing the stuff. And he would sit down at the table, you know, drinking his beer and just looking at me like, look like how I'm going to mess with him today and stuff like that, you know. And he said, look at you all scared, huh? And I wouldn't say nothing and stuff like that. And, you know, and he just, like, would just say hateful stuff. And you know, I'm sitting up there, I'm washing the dishes. I said, Lord, let me just hurry up and wash this. So I'll be trying to hurry up and wash it. And then, you know, he would drink his beer, and then he would just, like, take it and just throw it into my back or whatever, right? Ooh. And I would just take it, right? And he said, put that in the garbage, you know. and I'll get ready to put it in the garbage. Then he'll hit me again. He said, dump that in the sink first. Don't be pouring no beer in the garbage. Yeah, no, not. And then I would take that, and I was like, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ain't know no Jesus then. But I was just like, you know, I was like, Lord, you know, I see all these knives. So I imagine different ways of killing him in his sleep or just
whatever.
You know, I said, Lord, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it. And all that stuff was going on in my mind and whatnot. And, you know, and then he was just like doing that. And I'm just like, I was like, Lord, you know, and then I would be crying and whatnot. And then he would laugh while I'd be crying because it looked like that's what he wanted. And then I would like, I would go back to bed and I would talk to my brother and so I'd be like, you know what, this is, you know, this is crazy. And he said, yeah, but he'd go to sleep soon. You'd be all right. He'd go to sleep soon. And then I'd be sitting up in there. And then he'd hear us sitting there talking. I said, go to sleep. Don't be in there talking, you know. And I was like, Lord, I said, I don't know. And then I would look at that calendar of Jesus again. And I don't know why I got caught up to that calendar, you know, because going back now, I would have been through that calendar, all the stuff that I went through, you know. But I was looking at that calendar, and he was on them rocks. And then I, you know, I would watch that them shows that come on again. And I'm like, Lord, I can't ask questions because when Job asked why he was suffering, you know, on that, like, if you guys saw this go back in the day, it's called the Bible. You know, when Job was going through all that stuff, and he asked God why he was suffering, and God, you know, said all those questions on who made this, who made that, so and who just stopped the rain. So he was basically just saying that. And so I was like, well, Lord, I can't ask you no question. That's all I knew about the Bible, like from that movie. I said, well, I can't ask you questions, you know. But then Jesus, you know, you hear Jesus talk, you know, on that, you know, he's like, blessed are they here, blessed are they that take punishment and stuff like that. And I was like, Lord, I don't feel blessed. I'm just trying to told you, amen to God. Those some good words, but I don't feel blessed. I feel pain. I feel ostracized. I feel this, and I don't even know why. And that just went on and until I got sick and tired of it. So one day, I decided, you know, I was watching television and on the news, this young lady, she had mixed alcohol with her prescription medicine and she was in a coma and it was on the news and whatnot. And I think it was around the time when they were talking about Patty Hearst. I don't know because, you know, I know both those stories were like real strong at that time. And I was like, wow. I said, she went to a coma from just mixing alcohol, you know. But I was too scared to mess with his beer in the refrigerator because I knew I would die then. And I said, but you know, what I think about it, that's what I wanted to do. So why was I so scared, you know? But amen. I said, well, I can't mess with his alcohol. I can't mix his alcohol with no medicine. So I said, well, I just got to go get my own. Amen. And so what I did was went to the store and got my Sominex. That was the pill at the time of sleeping. And I would get my bottle of soda and you know, I would play my sad songs, you know, I got all my songs like, if you remember me, I hope you see, it's not the way you want it to be, you know, and then there was a song called It's 17. And then there was a song, you know, called Wildfire, and he like, you know, if I could say time in a bottle, first thing that I like to do, you know, but there never seemed to be enough time to do the thing I want to do, you find them. And I would just turn them all up, you know. Amen. I ain't had too many black songs, y'all. I'm just trying to told you. Amen. Amen. I just had the Kenny Rogers album, and at that time, we had just got our first record player. We had Diana Ross song Upside Down playing in there. We had Sad Eyes, you know, we just had Donna Summer song, and I would just play that Donna Summer song, you know. She said, on my honor I will try and always do the best I can, though the rain may fall, I rain but from your side. And she kept singing about how she let him down, and if you, I'll let you down in my way somehow, I'll make a promise and I'll break it. On my honor, I would try. So I would have all those songs on, all the saddest songs I could find, and I would just play them. And since I couldn't get drunk, I would be like, you know, I would be drinking my soda and downing them pills. And I'm staring at the calendar, and I said, Lord, when I wake up, I'm going to be over there with you. You know, it could be two of us on that calendar, you know. Amen. Laying on that rock. Amen. And amen. So I was like, amen, just doing that. And all of a sudden, I wake up the next morning, And I'm not in heaven, amen. And I got to get ready to go to school, and I'm saying, Lord, what is going on? This, it didn't work. I took that whole bottle. I should have been dead or stomach pumped or something. And so I said, well, maybe I got a bad bottle. I said, I'm gonna try it again. And the routine had got so much so where, and that's why I said, I know this was God. I would just get another brand a couple of days later. And I grabbed a Nitol or something, one of them, and I do the routine. I play the songs, and get my soda and down the bottle or whatever, just stare at the calendar of Jesus. And then I began to get mad, and I said, Lord, because I would always wake up the next day, stomach don't need to be pumped. I'm not in no coma. I said, Lord, you could at least put me in a coma. You could at least did that, So now I'm mad at God and my daddy, And I'm just like, you're just angry with God. I said, you sit back here and you let him do this to me. You sit back, how can you say you God and you must like this kind of stuff. You must be getting off on watching him. If you can stop him at any time and you choose not to, you must be getting off on this stuff. And you should have heard me. I was going off on God. Me and God had some problems. He'd tell y'all about our conversations. I'm trying to told you. Amen. I used to go in. I said, after I would get a beat or whatever, I'd come back and I would just talk to the Lord. I'm like, you saw that. You could have stopped at any time, but you got off on it. That's why I ain't never serving you. And I would get angry at that calendar. And I would just sit there and I would just stare at that calendar. And I was like, you sat there and you let that happen. And I was just angry. And whatnot, and I said, you won't even let me die. And I was just mad, right? And I said, I'm going to find another brand. So I went through a couple of them. It was like Simonex and Nitol, the ones I remember. And there was a couple of other ones. And I said, this medicine just not working, And I kept saying it's probably because I ain't mixing alcohol with it, But, again, I was scared to mess with the alcohol because I know I would get, if it didn't work, I would get beat to death, And, amen. And I was too familiar with that. So then, all of a sudden, I'm like, Lord, I said, I'm waking up and I'm waking up and I'm, so I got to find other ways and whatnot. So I cut my wrist, but that hurt too bad, so I didn't do a deep enough cut. And I said, Lord, I said, I got to find some other way to get up out of here, So I thought about walking in front of trucks and stuff like that. So when I'd be walking down the street, I would always chicken out the last minute and then change my mind. I like, Lord, I don't want to go out like that, and stuff like that, And then you would think about jumping off buildings or something like that, but I was too scared to do that. And I was like, so I was just walking around the earth thinking of what would be an easy way to commit suicide. I couldn't do it. I was just like watching different TV shows and stuff like that. And I said, Lord, I said, I just got to get up out of here, but I still ain't found a way yet and whatnot. Cause like these pills is working. So like the sleeping pills, when I would do them, I wasn't even scared I was going to die anymore. It was like, it became like a routine. Get a bottle of sleeping pills, down all of them and just wake up the next day. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even scared anymore. I mean, I'm talking about this is how the angels covered me and whatnot, around and about me, because I didn't have to have my stomach pump. I didn't wake up, messed up or nothing like that, Every now and then I'd be a little buzz, but for the most part, it was like for some reason they wasn't affecting me at all. And I was just like, and then they say, go to the store and get me my cigarettes, because they always sit me out in the morning, That's why I hate cigarettes too, y'all. I mean, I got issues. I'm trying to tell you. I see people smoking cigarettes. I have a flashback. Walking out, I was like, hey now. I hate cigarette smoke. Thank God for that, though. And, Daddy had to have his Newport. Mom had to have her Salem Longs and the Sunday paper. So Sunday is like the day they go re-up, and they send me out there to go get all these stuff. And it just so happened this man of God was, like, preaching on the corner and whatnot, and he had, like, a horn with him and whatnot, and he was telling people to get saved and stuff and change your life. Jesus is coming back and whatnot. And I'm just like, I'm saying, Lord, Jesus is coming. And keep in mind, prior to that, I was watching all the Jesus of Nazareth movies, the Bible and all that stuff. And I was like, he's coming back. That would be a good thing, and stuff like that, And I was like, you know, so I went over to him, when is he coming back? You know, I'm going through some stuff, you know. I mean, has he told you something? Is it going to be soon? He said, all you need to do worry about be saved, and when he come back, you'll be correct. And so I said, Lord, this is what I want. Now I want to be saved because he talked to me about the rapture, and that's all I need to hear. He said, Lord, I'll take you up out of any situation you're in. You know, it can happen tonight. You know, he said, if you're saved, you know, if God come back tonight, you know, he'll just take you. You ain't gonna have time to be ready. You got to be ready because he's snatching people up who ready. And I was like, that's all I need to hear. I said, so you mean he can come any? I got all excited about this rapture thing he was telling me about. And I said, can you save me then? I mean, we got to do this tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to get up out of here. And he said, he gave me a track. He said, come on down to the church and let's talk with you and whatnot, you know. And I was like, then I got all excited. I'm like, Jesus coming back soon. Wow, you know, and I'm like, and he going to take me back with him, you know. It could come tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And I went back looking at that calendar. I'm like, you ain't bad as I thought you was, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm excited and whatnot, you know. And I said, you know, so I'm going to go to that church. So, you know, at the time, you know, we was renting out properties or whatever, you know, so me and my brother would get, you know, daddy didn't want to hire nobody, so we did all the work. You know, we'd go up in and scrape all the paint off the walls, lay the drywall, do everything, you know, painting, you know, we do all that, you know, and then so we was doing that, and then one Sunday I said, you know, can I go to church? And he said, yeah, you can go to church and whatnot, just know when you get back, you're going to have to make sure you do this and that, and I said, all right, you know, so it wasn't no thing, and so, I went to church and whatnot, and I saw the minister that gave me the track and everything, and I got the stuff and I sat by him and whatnot, and the minister was preaching, you know, and stuff like that, and he told me, don't wait for tomorrow, son. For tomorrow's sun may shine on your grave. Don't wait for tomorrow's sun. And I was like thinking about that, right? Don't wait. And he was talking about Jesus. He's like, Jesus can come back tonight. And if you ain't saved, if you ain't baptized in Jesus' name, if you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, if you ain't turned your life over to the Lord, you're going to miss it. And if y'all tired of going through hell now on this earth, you're going to miss it. And then when the tribulation comes, you really going to go through something worse. Think about the worst day you're going through. It's going to be worse. Amen. You don't leave here without this Holy Ghost. Don't leave here today without being baptized. Don't leave here today. And as he was saying that, I'm like, Lord, I can't afford to miss this ride. Amen. Amen. I missed a lot of things, but I want to be on this. Amen. When this happens. So I said, I want to be baptized and whatnot. And then they said, all right. So he took me back to the one of the rooms and whatnot, and was going over Romans 6 and whatnot, like, are you serious? And you know, because this is a serious decision. You know, you got to bury yourself with the Lord. You got to accept him as your life. Just like he was dead and buried, you got to bury this old self. I said, I'm so ready to get rid of this old me. I'm just so ready, you know, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So got back, you know, so what happened was they talked to me, dressed me in these clothes. Then I was looking at the time. You know, because I was supposed to be back at home soon and working on, you know, those properties or whatever. So I said, Lord, I'm about like an hour late now, and I'm standing in front of a couple of people who are ahead of me in the baptism. They're going, take me to the wall, and I'm like, Lord, can we speed this up a little something? I'm just, you know, I think I'm gonna get me a little something. I'm gonna get me a little whooping or something. You know, here I am a teenager, but I'm still getting beatings. And I'm like, Lord, and then they just going through that for everybody, and one by one, they were getting baptized, and they would come out walking, and you know they'd cross their hands in front of their chest and pinch their nose, and he would ask them do they accept the Lord and stuff like that, and they'd go down in the water, and I'm like, Lord, and then they would praise God or whatever, and then I'm like, Lord, can you hurry up? And then it became my turn, and my whole turn. My whole experience, I was looking in the audience. I said, oh, God, my daddy, if he come in here, he probably come pull me out. And come yank me out of the water. I'm like, so that's what I was looking for. I was looking to the left and to the right. And while he was talking to me, I wasn't even listening to what he was saying. I was just looking out in the congregation. He said, do you accept the Lord? I was like, yeah. Let's do this. Amen. Because I just was ready. Amen. You know, before anything happened and whatnot. So I'm looking in the audience all scared and whatnot, looking for somebody to come through that door. And then next thing you know, he dumped me in that water. And then when I was under that water, amen, that was the first time I felt peace. Amen. It really felt like stuff was coming off of me. And I was like, you know, it was only a few seconds, but it felt like a longer than that and whatnot. Then when I came up, amen, my lips were shaking and whatnot, you know, and I had stamina lips. And it was just like something that just took me over. And I was like, I'm like, Lord, what can I do now? What's really going on? And I was just like, you know, just going through and going through. And I was like, in the name of Jesus Christ, I was just like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. But it was like, it was out of control. Can y'all still hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And my lips were just going crazy. And my mouth was going crazy. And, you know, it was just the whole thing. It was just like, yeah. And I never did that before and whatnot. But that day, it was just like loud, you know, and I had the stammering of the lips, and the tongue was shaking, and I didn't know the words that I was saying and whatnot. And then they was all looking at me, and like they was expecting me to say something. Amen. And, you know, they said, How you feel? Amen. And I was like, amen, I feel good and whatnot. And then it was like, yeah, it would just get louder and louder. And it was like something was inside of me controlling me, and it was speaking. And it was just like, yeah, and it got louder and louder. I said, Lord. And then even though I was in a spirit, amen, I was still conscious of the time. And so I'm in here trying to reason with the Lord, saying, God, you're going to have to turn this off because I got to get home. And so it was inside of me, and it was just going like, yeah, and I'm in a panic now because it won't stop and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So they carry me out of the water, and I'm looking around, you know, eyes wide open, looking at the congregation while this thing is still over me, and didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, amen, I'm saying, Lord, I said, you're gonna have to do something. You're gonna have to show me something. And I'm like, in the name of Jesus, because he just kept saying, just praise him. Don't fight it, you know. And I'm like, you know, so I'm saying, like, in my mind, I'm like, when does this thing turn off? And I was looking at the time, so I closed my eyes, and they had took me downstairs in the basement, and so I wouldn't disrupt the service, and the spirit of the tongues was all over me, and I was just like, hallelujah, and next thing, when I came to, and when it finally stopped, they were like, how you feel? And they was looking at me, and I said, I feel fine, I feel good, and I was like, and they kept looking at me, and I know they wanted me to say, like, are you saved or whatever, you know, but I didn't know that's what they wanted at the time, and so they asked me again, how do you feel? And I said, I feel good, amen to God. They said, well, go back down again and tarry a little more, and I'm like, Lord, I'm looking at the time in my mind. I said, all right, and so I tarried, and then it came over me again. And whatnot. Then I came back up, and then I asked them, am I saved? And then they said, you tell us. And I said, I was looking at the time. I said, Lord, it's hours that went by. I'm late. I cannot go back home without this thing. I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to come back to church or whatever. So I said, Lord, whatever you're going to do, you're going to have to do it right now before I leave this thing. So I closed my eyes again and began calling on Jesus. I said, Jesus, hallelujah. And I began to call on that name. I felt the anointing, hallelujah. Amen. And the tongues fell on me again. And about a whole hour. Amen of God. And then I came to, I was standing on the other side, amen, of the basement. And they was way over there, and I was like, Lord, and one missionary was following me and whatnot, you know, like she had like a lot of Kleenex or something, I guess, because like a lot of spit might have been coming out of my mouth or something. It won't be too graphic on here, but like, you know, I had, you know, she had one of them things, and she had I must have been gone for a while, because she had a whole pile of them things. And I said, Lord, she said, and then I said, I got it. I said, I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, I'm saved. You know, and I just started, you know, rejoicing. And I just said, I got it. You know, and they was like, all right, go and praise Him. I said, I got the Holy Ghost. I was all like, you know, just praising God and just I was having a moment. And then reality kicks in. And then all of a sudden everybody looked at me like, what happened, you know? And I ain't want to go into it. Amen. Well, I got to go. I had a Cinderella moment. Amen. I got to get back to the house, you know, because stuff about to change. Amen. Real quick when reality come in. Amen. Amen. I had an experience like I preached on the other week, the other day about how when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea, they was all happy and everything. But then three days after, they couldn't find no water and everybody dehydrated. You know, and they cussing Moses out or just talking, you know. So that's where I was at. I just came out of a high praise, high moment. But then I knew I had hell waiting for me when I got to that house. And, Lord, when I got to the house, amen, that was a slow walk. I got to the house. I was like, Lord, have mercy. I said, I should have left. You know, I'm second-guessing myself. Why did I stay there that long? Why didn't I just turn that thing off inside of me that was having me like that? Why? And then I got to the door. And it was like, I was like, wow, you know, and that's all it took, you know. It was just a bad experience and whatnot. And I said, Lord, I said, they ain't never going to let me go back now. Where you was at? I said, I was at church. Church don't last that long. Where you was really at? I ain't going to have no son of mine running the street. I know you was out there running the street with the hoodlums out there, ain't you? And I'm like, you know I don't run with no hoodlums. What are you talking about? What you talking back to me now? Huh? Is that what you doing? You know, it was a whole situation and whatnot. And he didn't believe I was at no church that long and whatnot. And I was like, Lord. And it was just like a whole situation. And I took that for Jesus, and then I went back to that calendar again. I said, Lord, ain't nothing changed. I said, I got this Holy Ghost and whatnot, and I kept waiting nights, and I would just read my Bible, and I would read it, you know, because I had a fish tank at the time, an aquarium, and you know, he caught me reading my Bible a couple of times, and he snatched it from me and said, you don't be reading the Bible, you know, you come out here with everybody else, you know. And it was like a crazy. So I was sneaking. I had my fishlight. I was sneaking into the closet in my bedroom, and I had my fishlight for that. And I would be reading the Bible in the dark. And I would be reading about the rapture and the red print where Jesus was talking. And you know, and I kept saying, like, you know, and then I would close my Bible and I would just go in the room. And I said, well, Jesus, you can come. I'm saved now, so come tonight, please, you know, snatch me up. He's like, you know, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other gonna be left, and whatnot. It doesn't matter. You don't know what it's gonna be like, but when it happens, amen, we gonna be in a body just like Him. You know, this mortal body gonna be on immortality. I said, Lord, do it tonight. Amen. It didn't happen that night. You know, then the next night it didn't happen. Amen. And then I was like, you know, I said, Lord, I'm saved now, but I'm still going through the same situation and whatnot. You know, he would come home at night, and I'm taking the same whoopings. He come home at night, you know, I'm like, Lord, I said, ain't nothing changed. I said, you know, you ain't coming back, I'm saved now. So why are you not coming back? So then me and God start going back and forth about that. I said, you know, you said you're coming back. You said the rapture. I mean, I know you waited. It had to be at least a couple of hundred years now. So, like, come on. You know, I'm what you waiting on? I got it now, you know. And he didn't come. And then when he didn't come, you know, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go do what I will start doing in the first place and whatnot. You know, I'll see you on the other side, you know, Jesus. So then I went to the store again and went and started that process again and went and bought them things. And then when I got put the music on and opened up the soda and got ready to down the pills, Jesus spoke to me like I'm speaking to y'all on this phone right now. And he said to me, if you try it this time, you're going to die and you're going to end up in hell. And whatnot. And then I started reading about hell and stuff like that. And, then you hear how hell has enlarged itself, and you hear how this gnashing of teeth in hell, and you read that story about that man who went to hell, and then he had a change of heart. Let me go warn my brothers not to come here. And he's going to say, it's too late. Abraham, dip your hand in some water. He says, too late. And I said, Lord, so I was scared to go to hell then. I'm like, God. I said, no, I can't do that, or I'm going to end up going to hell. So I said, I take this butt whooping then, you know, and I'm just like, Lord, but, you know, you're going to have to do something, you know, because if you're not going to move me out of this situation, and if the rapture not going to come, you're not going to kill this man. You're going to have to do something, God. You're going to have to do something. And I didn't know what he was going to do. But I said, you know, so then, again, you know, you come home at night. I'm he's cooking. And then I'm smelling that food. And I'm like, Lord, I hate chicken now. You know, amen. I smell that chicken. I know what's about to go down. Amen. Get in here and come clean this and whatnot, you know. And then eating at that table. Yeah, you going to that church now?
Glory to God.
And I said, yeah, I'm going to church and whatnot. He said, yeah, you want to go to church tomorrow? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, watch this then. And then he used to be laughing. You know, I don't think I'm gonna let you go to that church. Would that make you mad, huh? Would you want to cry now, huh? And I'm just washing the dish. I said, I just want to go to church. You know, you want me to clean something else and whatnot. And then he that hot pan. That was like his little game. Put that in the sink. And don't you dare go for that pot holder. And so I would just take the thing and I would just throw it in the water, you know. And I had got good at it now because I do it fast so I don't burn myself. And I'm washing that. And then, you know, he looking at my back and he talking all this stuff and whatnot, you know, and just being real disrespectful, saying whatever, whatever. And I got my back to this man, so I'm scared. And then all of a sudden, I feel a tongue starting to swell up in me. I felt my bottom lip shaking. I said, Lord, don't do this right now, God, because me and you about to get whooped. You know, amen. And then it started, got louder. The tongue started shaking. And I go, yeah, 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 yeah. And the tongues got louder and louder and whatnot. And then I'm washing dishes. I'm saying, Lord, don't do that. Lord, we about to get a whooping. I was saying we, because we both about to get this whooping, Lord. This man crazy. And it got louder and louder, like God was going to show me something. He said, you prayed for me to show you what I'm going to do and whatnot. Now I'm going to show you. Now I'm going to show him. And it was like, you know, and it got louder and whatnot. And I turned around, and he had that beard, like he's about to slam it into my back. But then he was just looking at me, and I turned around, and I go, yay. And I was just like, my lips was like shaking real loud, and I was louder. And I was just walking to him, right? And when I found out he was getting scared, he was walking back, because, you know, like the older folk raised up down south like that, they believe in Hanks and all kind of stuff. So he started backing up. You get away from me. You get away from me with that Hank. He got them Hanks in him. And he called my mama. He got them Hanks. He got them Hanks in him. And then I got emboldened. I got louder with it. And then it started speaking in tongues. And he was backing up and running from me. And I just like, you know, and I, it was like a little game to me. I chased him around the house with that for a little bit. He was running from me and whatnot. And then that solved that problem. Amen to God. You know, I had like probably six more months in that house, you know, and stuff like that. And you know, he would just talk stuff and whatnot, but, you know, he wouldn't put hands on me no more because he was fearful, amen, about that. He said he got things in him and stuff like that. He said, where you get that? At that church? Uh-huh. They got them demons. They got demons in you, huh? Yeah, now you got demons in my house. And I said, you know, and I was like, I said, I couldn't control it. That wasn't me. That was God. He said, that wasn't no God. God don't sound like that. God speak English. You know, and he was just all kind of whatever, whatever. And I'm like, Lord, I said, well, Lord, at least I ain't got to get no whoopings no more. So, you know, shout out to God for that, you know. And so that solved that problem. And then I said, but, Lord, I got to get up out of here. I'm about to graduate. He said, where am I going to go? Where am I going to live at, you know. And then I would tell some of the saints, you know, knew what was going on or whatever. And so they said, we got this couple. They said they'll take you in and whatnot, you know. So as soon as you graduate, that way it don't be no problem and whatnot. And so I don't want to wait. I want to come now. I want to go now. He said, no, graduate first so it won't be no problem, you know. And then so I would just go in the closet and read my Bible, had that fishlight on. And I would just read and read and read and read. And I was reading about the rapture again, and I was reading about Jesus, you know, and whatnot. And I would look at that calendar and whatnot and stuff like that. And I said, Lord, yo, you got to work this out. Just get me through these last couple of months and stuff like that, you know. And then they would send me, you know, they knew I was in church, but they kept sending me to the store on Sunday. They said, before you go to church, I want you to go get me some cigarettes and my paper. And I said, the Bible said, don't touch not, taste not, handle not the unclean, bat, 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 bat. Mama just beat the fire out of me, right? And so I, you know, make a long story short, I went to the store, amen, and got her cigarettes. I was touching the unclean thing and gave her a sailing along. You don't mess with black people and they cigarettes, hallelujah. So I gave her cigarettes, amen to God, and I said, amen, amen. Can I go to church now? Yeah, you can go to church and whatnot, but next time I ask you to get my cigarettes, you get them, you hear me? I'm like, yes, ma'am. I'm like, Lord, so for the next 6 months, I had to, you know, do that walk to the, before I go to church, you know, I would touch the cigarettes and all that, you know, get him his Newports, get her Salem Long and get his Sunday paper. He's serious about that Sunday paper, too. And so, I got that Sunday paper and whatnot. And then, you know, I would go there and then, you know, other day when we was working on other properties and getting them ready to be sold, he would come at the young people meeting and pull me out and whatnot. And I said, you told me I can go. I can be here for 1 hour. And he said, yeah, but I need to have this place ready. You know, I want somebody to come look at it today, so I need you to do this. And he would come snatch me out of church. He would promise me I can go. He would wait till I get to the church. And then it was a game to him. Then he would come there and pull me out. You know, someday, I don't know what day he'd do. Some days he'd let me stay for the whole service. Some days he'd pull me out. So it was like a little game to him, you know. And that was his only power over me and whatnot. And so, because he was scared to beat me. So he just, like, would come pull me up out of church. And so we went through that, amen, for about, like, a few months. And God just did what he did and whatnot. I said, Lord, this is embarrassing. You know, they say, your father waiting at the door again. And he would just be there, like, with that smile on his face, like, you know. And then we would be riding in the car. And I don't know if y'all ever rode in a car with somebody with attention where you don't talk. And the tension be so, you know, you get at a red light, you be like, you hate them red lights. Because you get to a red light, it's just tension because nobody talking. And he's just sitting there with silence, you know. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I got 6 more months. That's all I kept saying. I felt like a prison bed. Lord, I got 6 more months of this, 6 more months. Amen. Then I'm out of here. And then the light changed and whatnot, you know, and stuff like that. And then sometimes it would get so thick. He would even turn the radio on. You know, that's how thick the silence was, you know. And it was like real bad like that. And then, amen to God, when I graduated and whatnot, that was a big thing, too, because then the church do something for the people who graduated. And he wanted to take me somewhere for graduation. And I didn't want to spend no time around him at all. And he got real, real angry with that. Oh, you love the church more than your family now? Is that what it is now? You love the church more than your family? You're supposed to spend this time with your family. And stuff like that. So again, I went with him and whatnot. And then, you know, he knew I didn't want to be there. He said, well, go on, get out of here then. Get out, you know. And then I went to the church thing, and I had a good time and everything and whatnot, you know. And it was like, I said, Lord, I said, I'm moving out tomorrow, you know, because I had graduated that day. And that day and whatnot, after I graduated and whatnot, I came home early and whatnot because he would go to work at 3 o'clock, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I knew when he left at 3, I went and grabbed up on myself. I said, I'm leaving this bed. I don't need to take no bed. I don't need no dressers. I'm just going to take my clothes. So I just grabbed up on my clothes, you know, and my pillow, and I said, bye to the fish. I said, y'all can't come with me. You know, because, you know, he bought the tank, so I ain't want no drama. Him come saying, I bought something. So I said bye to the fish, grabbed my Bible, and, you know, I was on my way out doing. My mom said, oh, you just going to leave? You ain't going to tell your daddy you're leaving? I said, you can tell him, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And she said, oh, you disrespectful now. You don't talk to me like that. I don't care who you, whatever, whatever. You know, I said, I'm not disrespecting you. I'm just moving. That's all I'm doing. I'm moving. And then when he came to pick me up, you know, she cussed that lady out up and down or whatever. And, you know, I said, let's just go. And she said, there ain't nothing but the devil. The devil mad because he losing you, that's all. And stuff like that. So I left. And then, you know, my father came home. And he came over there. They door knocked on the door. And I heard them cussing downstairs and whatnot because her husband wasn't saved. And her husband, he wasn't scared of him. Her husband got the gun, and he went downstairs, and so my daddy backed up a little bit, and he said, don't you ever come back around here disrespecting my, because he was calling her all kind of bees and different things or whatnot, and he pulled that gun on him, and he said, if you come in here again, it's going to be the last time you come to my door. And then he backed up, Well, you tell him he ain't going to see his brother no more and his sister no more. He can never see them again, you know, and all that kind of mess. And, you know, I was fine with that. I said, Lord, as long as I'm out of there, I don't care. I don't give a care. I'm just out, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, when that happened, you know, again, he worked on the church's van and he worked on the church's buses and everybody's car had a problem. He went to him and whatnot. And you know, his wife was real active in the church. And when I said he was real, you know, he was a good older couple. And I was like, Lord, I thank you, Lord. You know, and then they took me in as their son and whatnot. You know, and, you know, we would watch Frederick Price on TV, you know, like on Saturday mornings. You know, he had a thick little mustache, big old afro, and he would be like, you know, and we walk by faith and not by sight, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. And we would just watch that. And that would come on, we'd sit down and we'd just be taking notes and just be, it was a whole different environment. I was like, Lord, it's good to be in around saved folk, you know. And even though her husband wasn't saved, you know, he wasn't an evil man, you know. And so, you know, he would let us read the Bible and everything. And every now and then he would come sit at the table with us when we were doing Bible study at the house. And he would have his Jack Daniel bottle, he'd sit up on the table and whatnot, let you know it's still my house, you know, and whatnot. And, amen. And we would be like, all right, amen. And we'd be talking about it. He said, everybody ain't saved, you know. He said, yeah. He said, he would give us hope because he would always say, when I come to the church, I ain't going to be no hypocrite. That's why I'm going to stop doing all my stuff before I come to the church. And that's what a lot of people, you know, think that they can fix theyself, you know. And they stay out there longer trying to fix themselves. He said, yeah, I ain't going to be no hypocrite. You know, I said, that's God. That's who God wants, you know, so he can do it. Just get there. You know what I mean? You know, I spoke on a while ago, like when the children of Israel left Egypt, all that mess that they brought, like, you know, that they looking glasses and all these stuff, you know, they was able to use that to make church furniture. You know, and when the preachers went to them and said, give me all your gold and your looking glasses, and it melted all that down, and they was able to make stuff in the church, you know. So you was able to bring that stuff to the church, you know, all that stuff that we think is bad, God can use that for good. But people don't think like that. They think about, you know, wow, I don't want to be no hypocrite. You know, I'm still out here doing this and that and that. I ain't going to go to church like that and be a hypocrite like this person. And they're so quick to tell about the hypocrites, you know, and stuff like that. They'll tell you to your face, they don't take all that. You in church, you should still be able to do this and that and that. But let you do that, then they'll call you a hypocrite. I thought you'd go to church. Why are you doing that? I said, you just argued a whole hour saying that it don't take all that, and you should still be able to go to church and do whatever, whatever. But when other people do it, it's a problem, you know. And so, you know, they was talking out two sides of their mouth, but he would always argue about the hypocrites. And we'd be at the table talking, you know, about, you know, the rapture. You know, me and her was always talking about the rapture. The rapture could come any day, the rapture, you know. And I was just, like, consumed about studying about the rapture, you know, pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, whatever, you know. And we were just studying that rapture thing, and then he would sit there one night, and he would be listening to us sometimes, and he'd be, you know, saying some stuff and whatnot to let us know he'd be reading his Bible sometime. And I'd say, all right, and she would wink at me like, we gonna get him, and whatnot. And he would just take us to the church, you know, and everybody loved him because he fixed everybody's car, saved them a lot of money. He had various properties like my father did, so you know, I would help him out. You know, working on different properties or whatever, but it was a whole different relationship thing, you know, and he was teaching me, you know, stuff like that. And, again, one day we was in the church, and the church was getting tore up. Everybody's like, yeah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. You know, this man ain't never wore a suit before. You hear me? He always had his jeans on, his suspenders or his shirts or whatever covered with grease from working on somebody's car. I ain't never seen this man in a shirt. He had on a white shirt. He had on a suit and whatnot. And he came in there with his hands up. He was crying. And he walked straight to the altar. And while he was walking up to the altar, everybody got their shout on. I mean, hallelujah and whatnot. It was just, I mean, the church was tore up and whatnot. We turned around, me and her, we looked back. We like, Lord, is that, you know, we didn't believe that God can do something like that, you know. And keep in mind, I just came out of what I came out of. You know, like that was my little Red Sea moment. But it'd been so long, I forgot, amen, that he can do stuff like that. And then he had this man crying. I ain't never seen this man cry before in his life, You know, this was a man that had pulled a gun on my daddy at the door and said, "You ain't taking this boy nowhere." He was my hero. My heroes don't cry, you know. And he was like, you know, I said he was crying, and then that made me swell up, you know. And I said, "Lord," you know. And then he walked up there, and then you know he got baptized that day, and then you know I didn't know too much about what was going on. With his wife, but at the time she had cancer, and that was her prayer she prayed. She wanted to see him saved before she passed and whatnot, you know. And then, as time went on, then I found out that that's what was going on and stuff like that. And by that time, amen to God, you know, I had moved out and went to another city and was going on to different things in my life and whatnot, you know, helping out other churches and stuff. And they wouldn't tell me. They didn't tell me until the last minute that it was going on and whatnot. They said, if we told you, we know you wouldn't have left. And God was going to do something with you and whatnot. So we want you to go today and whatnot and help out that other church or whatever. And I said, no, y'all should have told me and whatnot. And you know, so that was the thing right there, you know. And that hurt me and whatnot. But you know, before all said and done, amen, he started preaching and whatnot. And that was another moment for me, because I could imagine, because he always said, "I ain't gonna be no hypocrite. When I come in, I'm coming in 100%, and whatnot." And then you know, I went down there, and you know, I seen him do his trial sermon, and you know, it was like a beautiful thing, and whatnot. And it was just you know, God did a full circle of stuff, and whatnot, you know. And then one day, amen to God, you know. I was talking to the pastor and whatnot, you know, and I said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "I think God want me to preach," right? And he said to me, he said, "I was waiting for you." I said, "Why y'all folk always be waiting, you know? Why don't y'all just tell somebody, you know, amen?" You know, the guy said, "What you got? You saved?" You know, they won't tell you that, you know. And then he said, so I said, "Amen." I said, "Amen." You know, God been dealing with me and stuff like that. And he said, "God showed me a while ago," he said, "but I just wanted you to receive it," or whatever. And so I became one of the youngest preachers at that particular time in that organization at that particular time. And then so when God started calling me, next thing I know, a lot of my friends start coming to church with briefcases and coming to church with big Bibles. And I'm like, because now they want to preach, I said, "Lord," they said, "Yo, we going to Atlanta, and we gonna start a church there and whatnot, you know," and I said, "Lord, I don't know what's going on." I said, "I ain't going because you ain't told me to go, and whatnot,
right.
unless you tell me to go, I ain't going," and so I remember it was my boy Bernardo when he sang. I mean, he sang so much. I mean, record labels would be up in there, you know, and stuff like that. And all the women was going crazy over him, you know. And the musicians, you know, we had people scouting us, and it was just a whole crazy situation going on. And you know, so if you wasn't getting swamped, if the devil wasn't stealing you away to go play background on the road for these people and get in trouble, you know, and stuff like that, he'd be trying to make you go preach somewhere, you know, because he don't mind you preaching, he just mind you doing it like God said do it, you know. And so the devil had stole a lot of the saints away, and everybody that went to Atlanta, they went back and a couple of months later, because he used to go, we looked up to him. He was like the young people. He would speak to us after church, and so we looked up to him. We come to find out he was a homosexual, and he went to Atlanta. I said, "Say it ain't so, not my boy," and It was him, one of the brothers in the choir. It was all three of them had scandals like that going on when he went there. And so I was like, "I ain't never going to Atlanta." This was what I was saying, you know, at the time I was saying that. But, you know, but that's just what was going on back then. And we talking about early 80s, y'all. We talking about like 83, 84, something like that maybe. And and that's when all this was going on. And I said, "Lord," and then you know, they kept saying, "We want you to preachers would come by and ask me to whatever." And, you know, and I would be like, I said, no, I'm staying here at this church and whatnot. You know, this is where God want me at. You know, this is my family. This is these people, they literally saved my life and whatnot. And then I noticed that, you know, they would let us young ministers preach like every couple of months, every 2 or 3 months and whatnot. You know, they would set the thing down in front of the congregation. And when we were speaking and whatnot, so I noticed that when I would speak, the Lord would just bless. And whatnot, we had a lot of more people that had joined the church and whatnot, and you know, and I had a street ministry where I would, like, you know, I would teach Bible studies in people's houses because they was ashamed because they had clothes or whatever, you know, or I would just, like, you know, go pass out tracts or whatever, you know, and you know, when people missing, I would go find them, you know, like be Sunday at church, I look around, where was his name, you know, I go get them, and they'd be like, bro, that church for you, they ain't for me. I said, The Bible said, come as you are. Man, but you know, I'm still caught out in this. But I said, you just need to be around us, man. Just be around us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I would just go get them. And a lot of them, you know, they loved me for that. So in praise service, because back then we had praise services. And I would get in trouble every praise service because they was, like, lifting me up. And I was like, I told all of them, don't do that. I said, if y'all do that, it's going to be a problem. Because, you know, Lord already warned me about how this pastor was thinking that I was trying to take his church. And
right.
You know, and then I was like, I said, y'all don't do that. He said, no. I said, y'all, when I do this, don't say nothing because I know people, you know. And they were just going like, they said, no, I'm just gonna say it, you know, because it blessed my soul. My mother had passed, and the pastor, you know, he wasn't able to come for whatever reason. We waited for him, he didn't come, but this man of God came over and prayed for the family. This man of God did this. I thank and praise God for real. You know, I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. I seen this knee bouncing in the pulpit. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. I see the gleam coming from his glasses. And I was like, oh, here we go, Lord. And it was just like one of them moments. And I was like, in the name, I said, Jesus, I don't want this problem. I don't want this to be a situation. And then so I went back to, you know, next thing I know, we had about like 30 or 40 people join the church. And I had something to do with all of that. And they were all saying that. It looked like praise service was all about me. And I told them not to do that, you know. And so it got real bad. And when I thank and praise God, amen, for this man of God right here, how God's still using the young people, I think about, you know, and it was like, I was like, Lord. And then I would catch conversations, like I'm in the basement going to the bathroom, and I would hear the pastor and some of the elders talking. Yeah, they looking at him like he's the person, you know, stuff like that. So when I would come to the bathroom, I would make loud noise so they would hear me, you know. But I would, and they were like, and then I walk around, like, hey, pray, and they, oh, praise him, bro, hallelujah. And then I would go in the bathroom, and I was like, Lord, I'm like, what is going on? And then, you know, and the Lord would always show me, they would be hemmed up in a corner somewhere, and they'd be putting stuff in the pastor's ear, like, you know, you might need to, like, stop him from doing the Bible study at people's houses because they're looking to him more so than to you. And so then his messages over the pulpit were somewhat directed toward me when he would be preaching. And I was like, you know, and again, these are people that saved my life almost, you know. And now, you know, the jealousy thing is kicking in, you know. And like on Sundays or whatever the days out or Friday nights, whenever I was supposed to be speaking, we would have a whole bunch of folks and whatnot, and then he would come up to me and say, like, this one, he was allowing the young people to come in the pulpit and whatnot, you know, because we had, like, you know, it was just like a whole bunch of folk would come to church and whatnot, you know, when they found out I was speaking. And then he would sit by me in the pulpit and say, the Lord told me he want me to speak today. And I would be like, all right, you know, because I was cool with it. But then, you know, he was starting to do that. He was just using me to bring people in. Then all of a sudden, you know, the whole church would be just full, and then he would get up and he would let me speak and whatnot. And then the people started feeling some kind of way about it, and they started that conversation. It wasn't me, you know, saying, like, he should just leave and start. If he starts church, we gonna leave with him. And I had nothing to do with that. I ain't say that at all, you know. And then, you know, he became, you know, he stopped me doing the Bible. He said, you know, he would talk to me. He would make an announcement over the pulpit like he talked to everybody. All right, amen. We're going to have all the ministers and whatnot and everybody stop teaching home Bible studies. You need to bring them here. If they don't come here, don't be teaching no Bible studies and stuff like that and whatnot because, you know, we want to get them around seasoned people and stuff like that. And so, you know, so we're going to ask y'all to stop that And then I said, all right. Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with that. And then, you know, I said, well, I'm still doing street ministry and stuff like that, you know. And then, you know, it was almost like I was on a punishment. He said, all right, you know, a lot of people, you know, I know it's not you, but, you know, they looking to you like, you know, you're the pastor or whatever, you know, and they need to know. So I'm going to take you off of street ministry for a little bit. And I was like, and I act like I was cool with it, you know, because I didn't want no drama. I said, Lord, I don't know no other church. This is what I know. I don't know nothing about nothing. This is what I know. And so, you know, we had a couple of churches that I would just go at, and I would talk to the other pastors about it, and they're like, well, you know how he is. You know, that's pastor. You know, that's bishop. You know how bishop is. And I said, no, I don't know. You know, I'm just finding out about, I thought everybody was going to heaven. I thought everybody was like, whatever. And, you know, and it got to the point wherein, you know, the whispering and stuff like that, Lord always had me walk up and catch him and whatnot. Uh-huh. And I would always act like I didn't hear it. And I would be like, Lord. And then one day and whatnot, you know, he called me in there and, you know, and he said like, a lot of these preachers are calling me about you. And you tell them, ask for your bishop. You know, that's disrespectful to them to ask for you and not for me. You know, like for the priest, the pastor anniversary, the revivals, I was doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I didn't know I was making people mad doing that stuff because I did it on you know, on church stuff, like, you know, where it wasn't conflicting with anything. And,
right.
You know, like if they have a three-day revival, I said, well, long as it's not on one of my church nights, I'll do it. And, you know, but then, you know, he opened up his drawer because I had seen a couple of pastors on the street was asking me, oh, you done got too big for us now. And I said, Lord, I said, what do you mean I'm too big for you? And they said that, well, we've been asking, you know, you guys, you to come do our, you know, our pastor anniversary and this and that, you know, and we don't never hear from you. And about three or four or five bishops done told me that. And I'm like, I didn't even know anything. So I went back to that bishop's office and I asked him about it. I was like, I'm running to these pastors and he's saying, you know, they inquired me for them to preach. I'm just wondering, you know, have you seen anything come through the office and like that? And he dumped out a drawer full of letters that was full up to the top onto the table. And he said, you see what this is? This is disrespect. I'm the bishop. They have no reason sending you letters to come preach no revival, not no minister. I'm the bishop. You know, it was one of them kind of things. I mean, he was, like, yelling and angry and everything. And it was like, you know, it was real bad because, again, you know, I go into protective mode. I said, like, Lord, I said, I don't want these souls that, you know, that I helped bring to this church or whatnot to leave because he acting up. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to, like, be quiet and take it or whatever. And so he was screaming on me and stuff like that. And he said, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You think I don't know. Yeah, you think you got all these people thinking that whatever, you know. He said, when you start your church, just don't take none of my members. And then, you know, he was saying my members and my this and my church and my. And I was like, you know, I was thrown back from that. This man that I thought loved me would love God and we were like going to go win souls together. Now he was acting some kind of way. And I was like, Lord, I said, I can't deal with this, you know, and it hurt my heart and whatnot, you know, that he was screaming on me and he was cussing. That got me. I was like, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then I said, and then when he did that, I said, I got an ought against you. And I said, you know, Lord, why'd I say that? I said, I need the power. You got a what? Get him out of my church. Get him out of my, you know, and they was holding him back. I said, see, you're supposed to be a man of God. No. The Bible says, you know, y'all see him, y'all see Bishop. And then the deacons grabbed me and they're like, no, just leave, bro. And he was real loud. And I know the members out in the sanctuary heard it. And he was just real loud. And I said, he shouldn't be cussing like that. He shouldn't, you know. And I said, like, I need an apology. That's all I'm saying. You know, I haven't done anything. I haven't been trying to steal his church. I haven't been whatever. I think I just need an apology. You know, I don't think I deserve to be talked to like that. And he felt privileged because he's bishop and his title and whatever, you know, and that scorned me. And I said, Lord, you know, and then I got lifted up in pride. I said, Lord, I said, all the new members he got here is because of me. And, you know, he could at least give me some kind of credit for that, you know. And so I went out and then, you know, the Lord said, you know, if you're going to leave, don't tell folk, you know. And then I had made connections with people because, you know, a lot of musicians I was hanging with at the time were doing background playing for a lot of secular artists that's out there now. And so, you know, and then so we had a relationship with singers, actors, you know, and everything. And then they, you know, the Lord started raising me up out there, you know, in what I was doing out there. And then he got scared I was going to write a movie about it or write a book about it. And so he would have some of the saints come by and with letters or whatever, suing stuff or whatever, some kind of legal language saying I'm not allowed to say anything that I've seen and whatnot, because I saw a lot of stuff and whatnot. That's why I thought, that's why I was surprised he was coming at me like that, because, you know, I was his armor bearer, you know, and I've seen a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have seen and whatnot, you know, but I never spoke about it. And this man had stuff on television. I mean, he had thousands of people. You know, it was like, you know, it was like one of them. It could have been a scandal if I went another way with it. But I said, Lord, why would you save me and put me in a place like this and sit me up under somebody like that, you know? And then I said, Lord, I'm just gonna go to another church. So I tried to go to another church, and this man was so big and whatnot. It was like being in a gang. I mean, when I went to another church, they were like, well, your bishop called and said, you know, you only can go to his church. And, you know, so I don't want no trouble, because, you know how it's about offering. When you go to a church anniversary or whatever, your church bring a big old offering. So, you know, you know they don't want to upset that. So it was almost like I couldn't go nowhere, you know, nowhere familiar, I would say. So I would try to go to the familiar place that I knew and whatnot, and then these other pastors said, like, they said, well, you know, if you, either way, you're in a bad situation, because, like, you know, if you don't go back to that church, they said, if you go back there, you got to apologize and whatnot, and then come to us and whatnot, try to see if that'll work. So I set up a meeting, and I apologized, you know, even though I felt like I was in the right. I was the one who got cussed out. I was the one who got charged with trying to steal his church or whatever. And so I went to him. I said, Bishop, amen. I don't want to sow a seed of discord among the brethren. I don't want it to be a civil war where they got to choose sides. I'm not going to start a church. I just want you to know that right now. That's not what I'm going to do. And you know, I still love you and whatnot. This is where I got saved. And I don't, you know, I don't want us to have no problem and whatnot. And he was like all puffed up and stuff like that. And I said, you know, so ain't nobody around but me and you. Can you, we both were wrong. Can you just say you were sorry? And then he got puffed up again. Like, ain't wasn't nobody in the room being him. I said, you could say you're sorry and save face and whatnot. And he didn't say he's sorry. And then he went off, got all loud and whatever and got out of order. And then I said, well, just so you know, I ain't starting no church and I ain't going to tell nobody about it. It was almost like I was abused wife or something. I'm going to keep your secret. You know, and whatnot. And so every time I would see him on TV, you know, or, you know, they run a revival and whatnot, I said, that's fake. That's hypocrite. And then I heard the people that took me in, I heard she had passed of cancer and whatnot. And then that just took me out even more and whatnot. And then I was just too done. I was just too done. And then he passed not too long after that and whatnot. And then I was like, Lord, I ain't got nobody. I said, you know, so then, you know, I just got into the music thing and the entertainment thing or whatever, and, you know, and just like just went crazy out there and whatnot. And then I tried to come back to church again and whatnot, and I had the same problem and whatnot. They said, you got to go back to him. And it was like a gang, like all the pastors was, you know, they were scared of him. And then I said, like, when are you going to let me go, you know? You know, I felt like I was prisoner. I was like, why don't you just let me go? All these pastors scared of you and whatnot because they know you have some kind of clout or whatever, whatever. I said, why don't you just let me go? And they were like, you know, he said, see, that's, you know, see, you ain't humble enough yet. See, that, you know, that's what's wrong with y'all, you know, y'all young jackleg preachers. Y'all come up and y'all don't got no respect. And I said, I got respect, but I'm just saying, you know, you can, you know, I was talked to by my father a certain kind of way. I didn't think I was going to get taught like that in the church, you know, and then he would get all, you know, whatever, whatever. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm done. I'm done with these church folks and stuff. I'm done, you know, and I just walked away. And then at night, every now and then the tongues would just get on me, like my lip would start shaking again by itself. And even though I had left the church and hate all God's people now, I'm, you know, the Holy Ghost was still inside of me. And I had got caught out doing some of everything and whatnot, you know, and I was like, and then when I would get home, the Lord would still be in me, you know, and just I could be with a woman or whatever, doing whatever, 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 and then, hallelujah, the anointing would come on me, and it would scare that woman to death. You know, she thought I was having a seizure or something. She didn't know what was happening. You all right? You all right? You know, and I'm like, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy what? And I'm like, you know, you don't understand. I said, you got to go. You got to go. And I would send her on or whatever, and then I would just pray. And so I was living, you know, like a Christian atheist, like this new book, like Greg Rochelle got out. He said, with our mouth we profess the Lord, but we live like he don't exist. And I was like one of them people, you know, I believe in God, but, you know, I wasn't acting like he lived inside of me. But, you know, whether I denied him or not, he always would remind me. I mean, I would be in a club, and then I would hear the tongues come, start messing with me, and I would have to leave the club. It was like I had Tourette's syndrome, you know, when people just start cussing for no reason in the middle of a conversation, I would be like, yeah. Hallelujah, you know, and it was messed up. I'd be up in there trying to talk to a female, and I'd be like, you know, amen. So, you know, I'm just going to try to find out your number. Did you say amen? You go to church. And I'm like, well, did I say amen? You go to church, don't you? You know, would you preach or something? You know, and I was like, you know, so the anointing was always, you know, I would always try to hide my anointing or whatever. But for somehow, either my conversation or just people would just come up to me and tell me their whole life story. You know, and I always had like a gift that helps and an intercessory spirit. Like I would always go to people's houses and pray them through, and you know, and just encourage them on the phone and whatnot. You know, go to their house, just encourage them, and that was my thing. And then I said, you know, those people would keep coming in my life or whatever, and God kept me doing that minute. I said, Lord, I can't get away from it. Like the scripture says, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there, Lord. You know, whither shall I go? I mean, you everywhere. I mean, you know, you in the club, you here, you know, and whatnot. And I said, you know what? I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So I just said, you know, so I had a moment, you know, wherein, you know, I start studying. I just like, you know, because I call myself like a Bible scholar. You know, I love that knowledge or whatever. I just like, I would always hang around the preachers and whatnot. And then they was coming to me for stuff. They said, I'm gonna use that. And so, you know, we loved studying and stuff like that. That was the thing I missed with them. You know, we would all get together and study, and the Lord would give me revelation, and we would just like, you know, and stuff like that. And then, you know, some of them would use it on TV, or some of them was like, you see, I use your thing. I was like, all right, that's Holy Ghost right there. And I was all proud, you know, that I was part of the team, and stuff like that. And then when this happened, you know, I was ostracized. Like, people didn't want to be seen talking to me because, like, they didn't want to make that bishop think that they were aligned with me or something was going on or whatever. You know, so I was like, Lord, look at these power of these people. And, again, you know, so, you know, I would still call them on the phone and talk to different ones. On an individual thing, they would say, well, you know, hey, best case scenario, bishop would be dead soon. And I was like, yeah. I said, you know what, I don't know what it is, but in the Bible that works, but all my enemies live forever. They're going to live to be 900 years old. You know, I'm like, Lord, so Lord going to have to figure out something else. You know, it seems like the good people dying and them demons living. You know, yeah. I don't know what their diet look like. Maybe I'm just sneaking their garbage or something and what's really going on. But I said, I don't see them dying. And he said, well, you know, amen. You know, I'm still your friend. You know, me and mother. And then I would call mother. And she would be like, well, you know how Bishop is, you know, making excuses for him and whatnot. You know, we still love you, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And then, you ain't writing no book and not near your baby. And I'm like, no, I ain't doing that. Not no movie, nothing, you know. And I said, no, I ain't doing that. She said, oh, all right, amen. You know we love you, you know, and stuff like that. And she said, you know he love you too. He just like he's stubborn. I'm like, well, amen, you know. And so years went by with stuff like that wherein I was just like, I said, you know, when God showed me through that people are people and whatnot, you know. And at the end of the day, you can put titles on us or do whatever. But at the end of the day, people are going to be people. And, you know, and it's like a baby, which, you know, you got a baby at a stool and you're feeding it. One is the flesh and one is the spirit. And whichever baby you feed the most is the one going to get bigger at that stool, you know. And so, you know, he had that big flesh baby. It was fat, big, huge baby up in that chair, you know. And I'm trying to feed the spirit baby, you know. And it's hard to be an angel around a lot of devils. But it's possible. But it's hard. And that's what God was teaching me, you know, around all this stuff. Because at the end of the day, I know all the stuff that I did. and God forgave me and whatnot. So that's been the thing that, you know, God been dealing with me with, you know, and I'm cutting this, you know, short of what, because, you know, just because that's a long, long thing, you know what I mean? And but just so, you know, just God, to God be the glory, amen to God. He took me from a lot of stuff, amen to God. He took me from the house, amen to God, brought me into the church and whatnot, amen to God. He introduced me to some good loving people, amen, after I thought everybody were devils and whatnot, you know, and God began to bless. And I'll just end this testimony with just a little brief song like that I sing a lot. I don't know just what I would do. I just don't know if the Lord wasn't on my side. There wouldn't be fresh air for me to breathe. There wouldn't be a reason for me to get down, down, down on my hand and knees. I don't know. I just don't know, no, 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 no. Somebody don't believe in the night. Somebody even thinking what the Lord can do for you. But have you been down, out in your life? I mean, burdened down, and a rain just coming, Jesus. He move, woo, woo, he move your burden away. Can I tell you what he did for me? I said he picked me up, hallelujah, and he turned me around, and he placed my feet on solid ground, and I just don't know. Hey, I don't know just what I do without the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, I don't know just what I do without the Lord. There wouldn't be for sure. No, no, no. For me to breathe. There wouldn't be a reason for me to get down, 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 down on my hands and knees. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just don't know. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Said I just don't know. Hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Amen. When I gave up on folk, hallelujah, gave up on my life, gave up on people, Lord did not give up on me. Hallelujah. So somebody listen to this testimony and whatnot. Amen to God. Amen. God is married to the backslider. Amen to God. No matter what you go through, amen to God. Like I said, you can ask any farmer. Any farmer, amen to God, it's going to take that dung, that mess, that cow manure, amen, in your life to help you grow. If he got his water, amen, yeah, and he got all his other stuff, he's still going to need that dung. Amen. So I think and praise God for that, amen, and for this opportunity just to testify, amen, and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. So God bless you. Amen. And yeah, I turn back the hand of amen, Minister Billy Burns. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Don't go any place. Don't go any place, Minister. I want you to end us in prayer. But I just thank God. You know, as I was sitting here listening to your testimony, and there are so many people out there that are suffering, maybe not to the extent that you suffer, but just suffer in their natural life, in their church life, and this testimony
yes,
is the one that, you know, will allow people to see, you know, that, like you said, God uses the mess to bring out the best. Hallelujah.
That's
hallelujah,
right, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And, hallelujah. And, hallelujah, Lord.
And I just thank God for you giving the testimony.
Hallelujah,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
we need to hear. We need to hear, you know, how God, even when you think that you're doing the right thing, how sometimes
yes,
the devil
God.
Get in and cause you, and it's
that's
to stop
right.
your testimony. It's to stop your
that's
testimony.
Right.
Because just like you said, if God knows what your ministry is, the devil
yes,
knows
God.
What your ministry is. And
yes,
God. To stop it. I thank God for you, liberal Democrat, for sharing that with us. God is good. And I have a prophet, Michael Lewis, on, and I just want to bring him on just to say a few words before we end the broadcast. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brother Michael, how are you today?
Praise the Lord. I'm good, up early in California.
Amen.
Amen. I sent a special blessing out to my California listeners and those that joined the broadcast. I appreciate you. I know God wakes you up so that you can hear. You can
all
hear
right. It's about like 7 in the morning out here. Amen.
Yes. That's early. It's early, but praise God for you joining us this morning. I saw that you were on, and that was a powerful testimony, wasn't it? A powerful testimony.
Oh yes, yes, and from listening to his testimony, I drew several similarities of the call that God had in my life, the same obstacles, and
yes.
you know. These men of God, for whatever reason, all of a sudden become dictators instead of what God have called them to be, which was pastors, and heading
yes.
in the right direction. For some reason, they become attached to the ministry where they personalize it. It's no longer God's. It's my ministry. And so I thank and praise God for your tenacity, for your strength, for your endurance, that you yet kept the faith, you held on, even though you might have went back. That was all
yes.
part of God's plan. You know, one thing about God, he when he does something, he do it right.
That's
and
right.
I'm reminded of a brief story. I'm not going to talk long, but I'm reminded of the potter, of how the potter was told to go down to the potter's house. And when
yes,
you get
sir. Yes,
this, I'm going to tell you, what to say. Well, one thing that sticks in my mind, and I think it was T.D. Jakes, when I heard him preach this, that it brought some insight as to the potter. Well, the Bible said that while the clay was in the potter's hand, it became marred. And what people don't understand, marred means it's a mark of demarcation. That was something that was wrong with that particular part. That was deformity, that was a problem, it was an issue. So marred means you're in God's hand, and yet there's something that happened. So, you know, I look at that and I say, man, that's very powerful. God allow us, those who went through the route of drugs, he allowed us to get on drugs. He allowed us to become alcoholic. He allowed us to become liars, perjured person, whatever type of problem happened, but yet we still in the potter's hand. He's still shaping. He's still molding. He's still creating. So this is all he was doing with you, Brother Democrat. He was still shaping you. He was molding that integrity that was in you. He let you see the bad side of the church side so that you don't do that when you're in position. This is why it happened
to
you. He knew that you would be a great leader, but in order to be a great leader, you first have to follow something. And the principles that God had you to follow was not the principles of man. They're the principles of God. So he lets you see the bad side, saying that when you are in position, you don't become like them. And a lot of people get it twisted. You know, they tell you, Jesus said one thing about the scribes, the Pharisees. He said, do what they say do, but don't do as they do. Because what they're telling you, they're telling you right.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But he say, don't be like them. Be the difference of them. So the good that you saw in your leaders, do
yes,
that.
Sir.
The truth that you heard them preach, stand on that. But the lifestyle that you saw them live, don't you live it.
That's right. Be
what God called you to be, my brother. And I want to close with this little short brief. There's something exciting just happened. President Obama commuted 8 people And one
yes,
of the people
yes.
to meet with is a man named Clarence Aaron, who I befriended, know the family, talked to the family, hooked up Sister Adrian to the family. She said she called a couple of times. But I'm excited because MSNBC getting ready to come on in a few minutes. And
all right.
They're going to be talking about his case. Now, I've talked with one of his cousins, Andrea, and she might mention me and Danielle's name this morning. She might not, but nevertheless, if she don't, it's all good because she knows about Danielle's story, and she just sent me a text saying, hey, you know, they got to do something
That's
about
right.
it, her and Melissa. So Danielle's name. So what we're getting ready to do is start putting Danielle's name out there, her face. We're going to start passing out posters, wearing T-shirts, so that while it's being said out in the public, now they're going to see a face to go
That's
along
right.
with the case of Danielle Metz, who is Sister Adrian's baby sister. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. God
Amen.
Is able.
Amen. Yes, he is. And thank you for that information. And Brother Mike, please give us the information for people to come back on and hear how we can get T-shirts and how we can
okay.
help, you know, what can we do to help you in that endeavor. We signed petitions, you know, we signed
okay.
petitions. Now what else can we do?
Okay, well, yeah, I will come back and share. Right now it's still in the infancy state, so I have Danielle's brother. His name is Perry Bernard. He lives in New Orleans, so he's getting ready. We got to get the picture to send to him, the one that we want to use for the T-shirt. So once he begin to make the press for that, to start the printing, we'll send a address, email address, where you can order, you know, how many ever you want, the different sizes, the different flyers that we will be circulating for everybody, because we want to be on one accord. And we're asking people in every city that would do this to mobilize, gather up a few folk, go down to your city hall and just march around city hall chanting Free Danielle and, you know, changing of the mandatory sentencing guideline. We're just trying to bring some national attention. It's going to take different stories in different cities to get into the news. And when they see, hey, this is taking place in different cities for the same reason, for the same person, that's going to bring the attention that we so desperately need.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll make sure that you do that. And God bless, God bless, God bless.
Yeah.
My husband had to leave me. He had an appointment that he had to attend this morning. And so I'm going to ask you, Brother Liberal, if you will close us in prayer. Well, I just want to thank God I don't know, I'm not friends with you on Facebook, but I am friends with Brother Michael on Facebook. And
we're on Twitter, amen. Like I said, we established a page for the ministry, like New Destiny 54. If you if you're friends with Amen to God, the New Destiny Ministries on there. I'm Democrat on there. But if you go New Destiny 54, if you follow that, I'll find you on there, because I'm also friends of Amen to God, the ministry page as well.
Okay.
Amen. So find me on Twitter, and I can find you guys. Amen.
Well,
New Destiny 54.
I don't have a Twitter account. I have one.
That takes 5 seconds, y'all. That's where all the people at now. Like, where they watching all these shows or they broadcast, they're live tweeting, and just like you guys use Facebook. Twitter is now the thing that they're using now, like that. Like you'll notice Twitter on all the news shows, and that's
yeah.
how they're getting information out now. So, you know, I'm just putting the, you know, they should pay me some money for this. Twitter is the thing, y'all.
Okay.
I told you.
Well, I have never tweeted.
Oh, see, We as grown folk, we gotta get used to saying the word tweet, because it sounds like kids is all over there. You got a Twitter, you on tweet. But I've tried to tell y'all, a lot of grown folk and businesses and respectable folk is on Twitter now, and it's the way, it's part of the social networking now. It's like you gotta have a Twitter page, an Instagram, and a Facebook, and I think the on the Instagram now they want you to have a Vine, a 10-second video or 15-second video to promote your brand. With Instagram or Vine now, but that's where everybody at. Twitter is where everybody's at right now. You know, and I just got a page on there, so I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Lord, I said, I just got me one a couple of days ago, and hallelujah, I think I got like 4 people maybe or 7, something like that. But you know, we gonna have that thing up to 100 in the next couple of months or whatever. Amen.
Okay.
Or more than that.
Okay. Well, I have your number, and I'll give you a call. I actually started a Twitter account, but did not remember my password or anything. So,
hey, that happened to me. Back in the MySpace days, I had a couple of that little situations. I was like, what is my password? And then it came out with Facebook. You know, then it came out with other stuff. I was like, see, it started like that, Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen.
Okay. So anyway, we will catch up with Todd. Right, Brother Mike, we will catch up with Todd.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that'll be a blessing too, like when you can the pictures and, you know, like of Danielle, you can like just send a link out of the broadcast like of today, you can just retweet it to all your friends, and you know, that helps get the word out, they can retweet it to their friends. So, you know, it's definitely helping in the ministry.
Okay. Well, I need you to go to my page, get my number and call me.
All right. We'll do that.
Listen, I will text his number to you, Brother Mike. I will text his number to you, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Sister Billy.
Is that all right? Is that all right with you, Demarai?
Amen. Like I said again, you know, I would let everybody do the social networking with the Twitter, though, because that's why I'm working with the Twitter and the blog talk.
We need you to walk us through how.
Because like I said, you know, like what I wanted to do, like with Evangelist Bernard page, you know, if I can help you guys set up your YouTube pages or your you know, and stuff like that. If you guys want to start a YouTube page or a Twitter page, I'll set it. I'll help you guys set it up and stuff like that. You know, because you guys are, you know, doing some serious things and whatnot that, you know, people need to be connected to and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, this, we talk about the spies not our humble beginnings. We start with, like, one person or two people on Twitter, you know, cause that's where I'm at right now. But, amen to God, you know, I got rid of my other Twitter that had all those other folks on it, because you after a while you have 1,000 or so people on your thing, but none of them get down with you when you want to do something. You know, they just like taking up space. So I had to do some cleaning, you know, some cleaning and whatnot. I said, Lord, it don't make no sense to have all these 1,000 people, but when I need to have a movement or do something, only one or two of them come through. I said, like, I need to do some cleaning up, you know. So I got rid of a lot of the spaces and stuff. So starting all over again, hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Well, I just thank the Lord. God amazes me every week. He amazes me every week. As I was saying, I posted on Facebook that I was a little discouraged because I thought when I started the broadcast that people would be, you know, beating my doors down to give testimonies of what God has done in their lives, and I found that's not the case. So I was a little discouraged, and then the Lord let me run into a prophet, a friend of mine, and he was saying how the Lord had put me on his mind
just that
morning. And then we run into each other. We haven't seen each other in, I know, over a year, and how he told me that he had heard about the broadcast and, you know, that he had heard glowing reports about the broadcast. And so it just encouraged me, you know, that even though I'm not seeing the call-in numbers, I can look at the stats and see that people are listening. I know people are being encouraged because I'm being encouraged. But God did it again today. So I
thank you, Lord.
God, hallelujah, for allowing you to call in. Brother Mike, I you know, I've been trying to get you to be a guest, and you've been a guest before, but, you know, just to hear the new things that God's doing in your life. But, you know, God did it, and I'm praising him, and I'm thanking him for you know, his faithfulness, you know, to the broadcast, not to me, to the broadcast, his faithfulness for people to hear what he's doing and the marvelous things that he's doing in people's lives. And I just said, and I, as I was listening to you, I was thinking about Saul and David, how, you know, Saul was jealous of David, and when he started rising in the people's eyes, and that's what I think, you know, that I call it the Saul syndrome.
My Lord, my Lord.
The pastor becomes afraid of, you know, the his position because one of his sons is rising up. But that just elevates you know, people look
and
at
that's
him.
How I felt. I felt like I was their son. That's why I said I thought he would be proud, but, you know, hey, hallelujah anyhow. The good news is years and years later, you know, I flew down there and whatnot, you know, around Thanksgiving time and whatnot, and he finally apologized in secret. You know, he didn't do it in front of everybody. So I'm just saying, you know, I wasn't about no big thing, validation in front of people. I just like, you know, just so he can get to heaven, because I didn't want him to be out on, miss out on heaven because of some stuff like that, you know. So,
amen,
you know, hallelujah anyhow. That's why I never gave up his name and whatnot, you know. Now I still watch his broadcast from time to time, you know. But I used to like, oh, I am not watching that, you know. But now I got rid of that stronghold, so now I'm good. Hallelujah. Somebody pray for that, because I couldn't do that on my own.
Amen. So we just thank God, and we want to invite everyone to listen to New Destiny Ministries every day at this same number, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, at this same number, 858-683-1334. And, of course, listen to, call in and give your testimony to They Overcame. We're here to glorify God and not to glorify me. Glorify God, and we just thank God for you joining us today, and we're going to ask Liberal Democrat if he could end us in prayer.
Amen, amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you right now, God, hallelujah, again, for overcoming by our testimony, God. But now I see, oh God, that it was necessary to go through those things, oh God. We pray right now, God, that those that are going through something right now, God, hallelujah, oh God, that they understand that iron sharpens iron, oh God. Hallelujah, that their testimony is going to help somebody else, oh God. We pray right now, God, that your angel, oh God, wherever it's at right now, start activating that in somebody, God. Activate it in that house, oh God. Hallelujah, that testimony, God. Hallelujah, let them know, God, that keeping it as a secret, oh God, makes it a stronghold, oh God. Oh God, make them release it, oh God. Hallelujah, wherever they're at, oh God, make it a situation, oh God, where they can get around the right praying people, oh God. Hallelujah, that they can testify and get their healing, oh God, and that they can heal somebody else, oh God. Cover this ministry, that there be no backlash, no retaliation, oh God. Hallelujah, amen, oh God. Remember Elder Burns, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Amen, amen, oh God. He said amen, oh God, in his things, amen, oh God. It came to pass. Amen, oh God. And we remember, amen, oh God, amen, that every situation comes, but it has to leave. Amen, oh God. So we touch and agree with that. Amen. We make that a decree this day that everyone that's listening on this line, amen, they remember that Elder Burns, amen, and gave us that message for a reason, that it came to pass. And we ask that you receive that in your spirit. Amen. That you will know, amen, oh God, that it will not rain all the time, but the rain has to stop sooner or later. Amen, and that we can take that experience and be blessed. So we pray right now, God, that those listening to this will take this testimony, God. And if they find themselves in the same situation, know that there is an other side. And we pray this prayer right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
There is another side in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, God bless you, men of God. You have a blessed day. Go in Jesus and do the work that God has for you to do, as we will do. And we just want to end the broadcast with our theme song. We just want to praise you, Lord.
I just want to praise you
forever. Come on.
Forever.